When the Palestinian parliament convenes this weekend, Hamas formally gains control. It's the first meeting since the election victory by a group that the United States calls a terrorist organization. To talk about what the U.S. can do now, we've called Dennis Ross. He was special Middle East coordinator under President Clinton, and he's on the line. Good morning.
Morning.
A basic question first. How much does the Palestinian Authority depend upon the United States and Israel?
Well, it depends on Israel for about 80% of its economy. 80% of its economy is either based on trade with Israel or trade that comes through Israel. So Israel has greater leverage on the Palestinians than anybody else. In terms of the United States, we have been providing in the past year about $350 million in assistance, which is about a third, almost a third of what was coming from the outside world.
Okay. Now, the New York Times reported a few days ago that U.S. and Israeli officials were talking about putting an economic squeeze on Hamas. Those reports have since been denied, but it is not clear what the U.S. and Israel are going to do. What would happen if they did cut off financial assistance?
Well, it would have a devastating effect on the Palestinian economy. That economy is hardly in good position or good shape right now. The Palestinian Authority itself is bankrupt and cannot pay its employees, about 130,000 people. And the fact is, at this juncture, the Hamas have made very broad promises about what they're going to deliver. They're going to deliver, they say, a new life. They're going to end the chaos. They're going to produce a new economic policy, a new health policy, a new industrial policy. Pretty hard to see how they can do that if they don't get the kind of assistance they've had from the outside, and particularly from the Israelis.
Well, does that mean that the U.S. and the Israelis have the leverage to force Hamas to change its actions?
Well, Hamas doesn't think so. Hamas thinks that they can streamline the system, that they can cut the corruption, and that, in fact, they'll find other substitutes for what the United States and Israel are providing. I don't think Hamas at this juncture realizes how much, in fact, they need the Israelis. That's something they're going to come to grips with, I'm sure, relatively soon.
And let me ask about Mahmoud Abbas, the Palestinian president, the man in the middle now, between Israel on one side and Hamas on the other, trying to work with both of them. How can he do that?
Well, I think that he is in a position that is probably harder than any that he's faced before. He's going to try to be the legitimate face on the one hand, but also impose some real conditions on Hamas at the same time. Whether he can succeed in that remains to be seen. I mean, bear in mind, he was not prepared to confront Hamas when he was much stronger than he is today and they were weaker. Whether he's prepared to confront them in circumstances where he's weaker and they're stronger remains to be seen. But certainly he realizes that if he doesn't do something to get them to adjust their behavior, he's going to be in an untenable position.
What kind of conditions can he impose on them?
Well, I think the main conditions will be the conditions that he himself ran on. Bear in mind that he won 62% of the vote when he won the election, and he ran on a platform of nonviolence, negotiations with the Israelis, and in effect a two-state outcome. So I believe what you're going to see him try to do is insist on those conditions as the basis for any government. My guess is Hamas won't accept them, but they'll try to come up with something that looks like they're responding to him, and he may want, in effect, to say they've come close enough.
Ambassador, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Dennis Ross is with the Washington Institute for Near East Policy and was special Middle East coordinator during the Clinton administration.